What are the 14 things that every politician needs to know about climate change? By needs to know, I mean that everyone who doesn't get all 14 of these things is unfit for political office. In the appendix at the end of this audiobook, I'll flesh these out in more detail, but here they are in brief. 1. Current science tells us that a global temperature rise of 2 degrees looks very risky, but 1.5 degrees centigrade, much less so. The Paris Agreement said this. Every significant country in the world agreed. Since then, Trump has rowed back, but everybody else has held firm. 2. The temperature rise we experience will be roughly proportional to the total amount of carbon we have ever burned. This gives us a cumulative carbon budget, most of which we have already spent. 3. Emissions of carbon dioxide, the most important greenhouse gas, have grown exponentially for 160 years. There are always ups and downs between individual years, and there was a bit of a dent for the Great Depression and the World Wars, followed by a bounce back that can be explained in various ways. But these are just noise against a remarkably steady long-term trend of 1.8% growth per year. 4. We have not yet dented that carbon curve. Even taking the most recent data into account, there's little or no evidence that the carbon curve has even twitched in response to any of the talk and action on climate change so far. Gulp. This may seem like a difficult reality, but facing up to it gives us a much better chance of dealing with the problem. This stark observation tells us a lot about the nature of the solution that we need to put into place. 5. At the current rate of carbon emissions, the remaining viable carbon budget for both 1.5 and 2 degrees is dwindling quickly, despite some recent good news from the carbon modellers. As things stand, we look set to overshoot the 1.5 degree budget somewhere between 2030 and 2040. 6. It takes a long time to put the brakes on. The temperature won't stop rising until net emissions are zero. 7. Almost all the fuel that gets dug up gets burned, so it has to stay in the ground. 8. Because of rebound effects, which are often ignored, glossed over, or not fully understood, some of the key actions that many people assume will help us haven't helped at all, and on their own, they never will. This includes just about every new technology and efficiency improvement. 9. Growing renewables, whilst essential, won't be enough to deal with climate change. This is precisely because of rebound effects and the permanent human appetite for more energy. 10. So we urgently need a working global agreement to leave the fuel in the ground. Piecemeal actions get absorbed at the global system level by companies pushing emissions down the supply chains, countries offshoring their carbon, and the myriad of ways in which the emissions simply migrate elsewhere in the global system. 11. As we saw in the food chapter, we need to manage other greenhouse gases as well. 12. Extracting and burning fossil fuel has to become too expensive, illegal, or both, unless you can think of another possibility for a global constraint. 13. Such a deal will need to work for everyone. In theory, it might be possible to force some stakeholders to put up with an arrangement that sends them into poverty. But on the whole, the entire world will have to sign up and help make it work. It doesn't matter how hard that seems, facing the challenge is an essential first step in meeting it. And finally, 14. We will also need to take carbon back out of the atmosphere, even though it is unclear whether we yet know properly how to. This is quite simply because we are exposed to so much risk already through our failure to take effective action so far.
We hope you've enjoyed this short audio excerpt from There Is No Planet B, written and read by Mike Berners-Lee. For more information, please visit cambridge.org.